Well, this morning I had a message on rest for God's people. And this is on a similar subject, or at least a similar vein that Jesus talked about. And what I want to do is reiterate the fact that we all, and like I expressed this morning, I'm tired. I'm very tired. And the thing is, there's so much going on that I just wished we were out of this. Now, I know once you're in a battle or in a war, you can actually suffer from what's called battle fatigue. You know, we get tired fighting the same old battles, it seems. But not only that, but we also have an internal war going on. You know, like I said, internal to ourselves. Paul expressed it this way, basically, and I'm going to paraphrase, but basically he said we have a sinful nature. He calls it the flesh. This is what the flesh desires, and almost always the flesh desires things that are not of God. And so when the flesh gets in the way of what I want to do or what I want to say or what I want to teach, well, then that's not of God, and the flesh has a tendency to direct you a different way than toward God. Whereas if you have that spiritual nature, if you have given your heart to Christ, and you have that spiritual nature inside, there's this constant war against the flesh, because Paul expressed it this way. He said, the things that I would do, I don't do. And then the things I want to do, I do not, he says. It's a conundrum, because you've got this two natures inside each and every one of us that is fighting each other. And like I've heard one pastor say, he said, depending on who you feed, that's going to be who becomes the strongest. Now, granted, I know the Spirit of the Lord, there's no power like Him. But again, if you feed your flesh and the desires of the flesh, you'll have a tendency to lean that direction rather than toward the Lord. And so our goal is to always, always be pressing. Like, if you want to think of what that word means, pressing. If you've ever been in something similar to a hurricane or a tropical storm and the wind is blowing so hard, and it just seems like you're bent over and you're just forcing your way through the wind, that's pressing. Pressing toward the mark. So you're going against the wind in this case. And the wind is trying to keep you from getting to your destination, but you got to keep pressing. You got to keep going. So in Matthew, to give you a little context, Jesus had just gave some scathing remarks, terrible things about the coming judgment. And a lot of us don't like to hear about judgment, but it's a fact. It's going to happen. We're all going to be judged one way or the other. But Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, and you know, if you read some of the Gospels, you might think that there's never a good Pharisee, never a good lawyer or scholar or anything like that, but there were some. But the fact is, the majority had already given themselves over to, if you want to think of it this way, as a judicial rules. So they use the law of God, not so much for good, but to oppress people, to lay things on them that they themselves, Jesus said, wouldn't even lift a finger to do. Now, how's that for a teacher of the law? Is to tell you need to do these things, but then the teacher themselves don't do it. And Jesus called them out on that. And basically, he pronounced what was called woes. Okay, that's a terrible word in the context that Jesus gave, because he said, if things had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah that had been done in front of the Pharisees, they would have still lasted until that day. That's how important the works of Jesus Christ was, that if they had been done back in these cities that were destroyed by judgment, then they would have lasted because they would have repented. And so now it comes upon us. Now we see all of these things. We know the history of a lot of these places. And now Jesus is turning his attention to us. To us. And that's where we're going to pick up here on his discourse here. He just got through really pressing hard on the Pharisees and the scribes. So here in verse 25, Jesus said, it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, and I love this, Jesus would pray on the spot. That's how we ought to be. We ought to be spontaneous prayers. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now what's interesting, he's not really talking about truly wise people. These are people who think they know everything. You've met anybody like that? People who think they know it all. It's like me, I married Miss Wright, Miss Always Right. She's probably, yeah, see, I have the pulpit, so when I get home is when she'll give her message. But the thing is, we say the same thing, women say the same thing about men. You know, I married Mr. Right, Mr. Always Right, because that's the way people are, right? And they think they know it all, and they think they have all the answers, but really they pretend to be wise, and I see that going on in the back. But the thing is, my ears are burning. But the thing is, they're not wise. They're not wise. They don't know everything. And so the Lord basically has hid. And I don't know if so much he hid it as that they were just blind. Think about that, folks. Because Jesus often said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And it also applies to your eyes. If you can see, let him see. And they would see these miracles of Jesus, but they were blinded. It was hid from them by the fact that he was the Messiah. Okay, so he says, I thank thee, Lord. And you might be thinking, well, that's an odd thing to thank God for, was that he hid it from the wise, or at least people who think they were wise, but he has revealed it unto babes. Who are the babes? That's us. That's people actually searching and listening for the voice of God. We're listening for God, and we want to know that there's something better. There's something better. And that something better is on its way. And so God has revealed it unto babes. These are people who are searching. And if you recall, Jesus had said that no man can come unto me, you know, when he was talking about, unless he what? Humbles himself like what? A little child. Because children are searching. They're asking questions. But he goes on to say, but even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And it is good, and it's good news for us. And he goes on. He said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. So this is why a lot of times I will, when I start praying, I submit myself to the authority of God the Father, who has given all authority in heaven and earth to the Son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus even says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father. And neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. In other words, the Son knows him intimately. And by the way, that word know means in an intimate relationship. Okay, it's a special kind of love and understanding of who that person is. It's kind of like, if you think about it, on the order of best friends. I hear people use the phrase best friends forever, okay? It's a different kind of relationship that if I have a best friend and that maybe I'll have a bunch of other friends over here, I have a different relationship with this person. I know them. I know them much better than anyone else probably, because they have revealed themselves to me. That's how best friends typically work. And the fact is, you know things about them that other people wouldn't. And Jesus basically is using that same analogy. He's saying, you don't know the Father like I know him. And that's true. We couldn't possibly, our limited minds couldn't possibly understand God the Father without having Jesus Christ. And so here's the thing. It said, but But neither knoweth any man of the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So when the Lord opens up his invitation to all of us, he's wanting to reveal the Father. And one of the ways he reveals the Father is by his own character. How do I know that? Remember when Philip, in that great Last Supper, we call it the Great Last Supper, when Jesus was talking about, I'm soon going to be gone and I'm going back to the Father. And Philip goes, and this is quite a request. Philip said, show us the Father and we'll believe. What was Jesus' reply? Philip, yeah, if you've seen me, have I been with you for so long and you still don't know who I am? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so folks, think of it this way. As Christians, the first word in Christians is Christ. If people look at us, who do we want them to see? Christ. Christ. We have to be Christ-like. That's how we reveal Christ to the world. And I'll tell you, when you think of it that way, now it becomes an awesome responsibility. Because it matters now what I say, it matters what I do, and it matters how I live. And if I'm all the time living fearful, do I have the faith of God in me? Probably not. I probably have a lot of unbelief. And this morning we learned that unbelief is an evil heart. And so he says here, I will reveal the Father to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So if he opens up his invitation, he wants to reveal the Father to you. And so to me, that's momentous. That is such an important thing. But now we come to the part, Jesus is beginning to make this transition now from really talking to the Father. Now he's talking to us. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, when we talk about the rest of God, you have to come up and think that there were multiple times God rested when he created the earth and the heavens in 6 days. And what did he do? He rested on the Sabbath. That's why we call it the Sabbath. It's not good for man. And by the way, he included that as one of the Ten Commandments. It's not good for man to just continually work, 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 and labor and never take a rest. You know, we've sort of lost that idea. I can recall in my lifetime, I can recall times when stores would not be open because it was the Sabbath. And I just watched, it was yesterday. It was an episode in Andy Griffith where this man's car broke down and it was the Sunday. And the whole town was pretty much shut down and he couldn't get anything done. It was kind of comical the way they presented the story, but it had a good point. It had a good point that everybody was resting from their labors. Okay, they had just come from church and now the rest of the day was spent on basically just resting. And so the Lord is saying, all of us, he's talking to us, all ye that labor on a heavy laden. So what's he referring to here? Well, we know what labor is. People who work, people who strive, people who are just continually trying to come to a place to where they can finally be at the place where they know the Lord. And I know sometimes we think we can work and by our works we can be saved, and that's not the case. But Jesus is opening up this invitation to all of us because that part where he talks about who are heavy laden means a burden. If you think about the TV show or the movie called A Christmas Carol, do you remember when Jacob Marley in The Christmas Carol, when he first came in to see Scrooge, do you remember how he was chained? He had chains all about him and he was just tough to move around and whatnot because he was just so bound. That's kind of what Jesus is referring to here. The fact that we're all so bound and we're weighted down, the world itself, it seems like it's just pushing all the time, pushing you down. And typically what he's referring to here by being heavy laden is our sins. Our sins. Our sins is what weighs us down. There's one scripture where I think it was Paul who said, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Remember that? Sin can weigh you down. And I'm telling you, it's not just unbelievers. It can be Christians. Christians can experience times when they fall into a season to where they are drifting from the Lord and the sin is weighing them down. So Jesus is giving you an invitation, giving me an invitation. Because he says that if you come to him and you're in this condition that you are laboring and that you're heavy laden, he says, I will give you rest. Now the fact is that he will give you rest. It's a gift. It's not something you can work for. You can't work for this rest. It's kind of counterintuitive. You don't work for rest. And Jesus says, look, if you come to me and I see how you've worked and how heavy laden you are with sin, he said, I'll give you rest. I'll set you free. And he that is free indeed. See, we got to put all of this together. And so he goes on, and we'll be winding up here in just a moment. He goes on and he says this. So now we've come from the part that it's an invitation, come unto me, he says, to now it's a time of service. You got to see it. You got to see it because he says, take my yoke upon you. A yoke is that wooden beam that would go across two oxen or two mules or whatnot, and that's how they would plow the field, horses and things like that. They would plow the field in pairs because there's a funny thing in the animal kingdom to where if you were to yoke two oxen together, and let's say one was stronger than the other, slightly, do you realize that as one works, the other one tries to keep up? That's how yokes work. The other one will try to keep up, and so they both continually are working hard, and they're working a lot and are working together. That's why in one place Jesus says, don't be unequally yoked. Because then you have one who is just pulling you in one direction and you're doing nothing but just being drug along. So here, this yoke he's talking about is for you and Jesus. Wow. Do you realize that by coming to Jesus, you are physically, spiritually yoked with him for his service? Because he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Let's study about him. Let's understand who Jesus is. And let's want to be more like him. Because he says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Wow, how good is that? I don't know about you, but I want to find rest for my soul. Not just in heaven, but here on earth. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about that you can find rest. Rest from what? Sin and the effects of sin. You can finally be free of all of that. And I know sometimes as Christians, we go through seasons in our lives where we feel like we're bound and we're held down. But Jesus said, look, come to me and then take upon your yoke with him and you will be in the service of Jesus Christ. And he'll give rest unto our souls. That's wonderful. And so I want to end with this. Because he tells us. Because I don't know, some of you may be concerned. That, wait a minute, if I have to go to work for Jesus now and he's going to bound this yoke with me and him, man, it's going to be tough. Not really. Not really. Look at what he says. This is not a difficult yoke. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, that is so wonderful to know that being in the service with Jesus Christ is not a burden. I know we make it into a burden. We make it into something that Jesus never intended. Ministries are often guilty, preachers, pastors, all kinds of people are guilty of combining a ministry to where you're doing so much, but you're really, you're feeling more angst and anxious over things that really God hadn't intended for you to do. He, not me, He is the one who's in charge. I'm just a mouthpiece. He owns this church. This is God's church. This is not Eddie's. It's not mine. It's not anybody's. We, the people, are the church of Jesus Christ. And so when we go out these doors, think about it this way. You're taking part of the church everywhere you go. And people are looking at you, and maybe fairly, maybe unfairly, but people are looking at you and judging you by your fruits. Okay, we're fruit inspectors, okay? We shall know them by their fruits, the Bible says. So let's take this to heart, and let's put ourselves, first of all, let's come to Jesus Christ humbly. Let's come to Him, asking Him to take this burden of sin off of our lives. And God will hear you. He will reveal to who the Father is, because if we know who Jesus is, we know who the Father is. And with all of this combined, we come into the service of the Lord Jesus Christ to be more like Him and then to present Jesus to the world because of who we are. That's an awesome responsibility. But the fact is, it's not a hard, it's not a difficult responsibility. So let's take all that to heart. And as we leave here today, let's go with the knowledge that we're going to go by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You, Lord, for all that You do. And Lord, I thank You for Your mercies and for Your grace. And Lord, I want to answer that invitation tonight. I want to answer that invitation to come unto You so that You could relieve me of this burden of work, of labor, and the sin, Lord, that tries to plague my life, because I know my flesh and my spirit, they're warring against each other. And Lord, I pray for Your help, Your guidance, and Your love, and for Your Spirit to be in me, to help me, God, in this congregation, to live a life that's worthy of Jesus Christ, acceptable to Jesus Christ, so that we can be a light unto the world, and Lord, that we can basically present the gospel by the way we live. Father, go with us and help us, and keep us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.